What type of opening is that? Are you serious?
You're telling me that. Like, I picked it. What is this?
Yeah. Let's rewind that, people.
What is that?
That's Miriam Tazi.
What up, Malcolm Riddle?
Ooh. And you know this.
This is the 80s. What is this?
This is a funky, fresh production.
A funky, fresh production?
It's gotta be. I had to come up with another beat to start it. You don't like this one?
This is weird.
Really? I like it.
No, it's very spacey.
I like spacey.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't think it's that. I think it's weird.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like this.
Gaz the Rapper, if you're listening to this, that's the...
I don't mean
to
insult anyone.
It's okay. We all know you're the African with attitude.
Oh.
So that's what's up, people. And yes, welcome to another episode of American Riddle. And that was a... Like I said, we're trying out new intros, new theme songs. And that was one. I really like that song. I mean,
what is it you like about
it?
No, I'm not. I'm just...
I like the beat. Kind of reminds me of what was that? What was that jam? I forget the jam.
I don't know. It's got to be something from the 80s, though, right?
Yeah.
See,
what was it with Milk?
Milk.
Yeah. What was it? What's the name of the song?
Milk
D.
Who's Milk D?
You don't know who Milk D is?
I don't think so. Who's Milk D?
You gotta look it up. Let me pull it up for you people.
Yeah.
Just hang tight.
We'll get it on this screen.
We'll get this. Top Dylan. I couldn't even think of it.
Top Dylan?
Top Dylan.
Oh, Top Dylan.
See if it comes up. See if YouTube even has Top Dylan on without 80 commercials, as you always get with YouTube. Now YouTube has 30-second commercials. Click on a thing and you gotta... I get tired of it. I'm not even going to get worked up.
Yeah, but it's a free service, so...
Nothing's free, people.
That's true.
Nothing
that's
is free.
They try to brainwash you. I know this. This is not the same.
Yeah, but the same drum. This is dope.
Yeah, this is different. MCMI, people call me Milk.
When
I'm
listening
to nobody, I feel no guilt.
Do you know this? You feel that?
Yeah, but it's not the same.
God.
To be down, you must appeal to the two. We're rated R, we're gifted,
and we're going far
down the road.
Yeah, you know that's MC Light's brother.
I can kind of, I believe that there's a sound similarity.
Word. But just the overall, the bass, the kick, it just reminded me
Milk
of
D.
And I say, Top Villain, that's what we get. Got it good since you...
God, if you guys don't remember that, something's wrong with you.
Stop scheming and looking hard. I got a
great big
bodyguard. So step up if you want to get hurt.
Enough of that.
Okay.
But, no, I was just trying out a new, I ask, you know, a handful of people all the time. I need some beats. They always talk about, I want to hook you up. I got beats. Play my beats, right? But when I ask for them, they never deliver. So Gaz the Rapper, he's a friend of mine, I just asked him in passing. I just sent him a message online. He replied back, and then, like, I don't know, within 5-10 minutes, he worked something up really quick. He had the sound bites, you know, the American Riddle and all that stuff, but I was like, just give me the clean version. So I just played the clean version. That's what we played at the top.
Okay.
And that's what it was that the African with attitude was hating on.
I'm sorry.
For the record. And it's recorded. You know what I mean? It's recorded, people.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get in trouble.
You know
what I mean? I should just shut up.
I like that, though. Yeah. You don't like it, though. You don't have to like it.
I like the beginning, but then this, and then when it gets really spacey.
Yeah. That's not really my style, either. You know what I mean?
Like, see.
I don't need all that. That's I think that's more in today's style than it is back in the day. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Yeah. You could do without that.
Yeah.
We're gonna clean it up. We're gonna work with it. That's the whole point, right, people? It's a progression.
I just also need to hear like how American Riddle fits into it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like,
I might not even put no sound
just
bites.
Leave
on
that.
It. Yeah. Just come in. You know what I mean?
I
like the news. You know what I mean?
They
don't have sound bites. Damn, people. This is what I get.
Sorry.
Trying to be creative. Surprise the woman. You know what I mean? It's like
the other stuff I really liked. I mean, I can't, you know, love
everything. The other one was too hard for you?
Well, yeah, it's pretty. I mean, it's intense. It's aggressive. The one I really like, the jazzy one, is really one of my favorites so far. And I really like the Gangsters, the, what is it, the Flintstones Paradise one. That was good.
Yeah, but that's for a bit.
I know, but I still like that.
You like this one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one.
That means I got to come in like mellow every
time. That's good, though. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm mellow, so.
American Riddle.
Yeah, see?
American Riddle.
I like that. Are we beat? I like that. I'm not really going to dance the way I want to, but yeah.
She likes that, people.
That's my favorite one so far.
And what's your favorite one, people? Let us know. Shoot me a tweet. Hit me up. Hit me up on the American Riddle voicemail.
Oh, you know, yeah, what I mean? By the way.
We got it. We did. We got a our first voicemail. Let me cue that up.
I want to hear that.
Let me turn some of this music off, people. Sorry for being all over the place, but that's just how it is. Like I said before, this is a work in progress, and you're along for the ride, whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, you've obviously tuned out by now and have gone on to a better podcast. But for those of you that are tuned in right now, we thank you here at American Riddle. So let's see. I had this set up. Let's see what I... Sorry.
Uh-oh. I feel like I'm going to get yelled at right now.
So this is the first American Riddle voicemail.
Yo, this is Mike Tate calling all the way from Oklahoma. And, man, Tiger, man, since when did you not know that Jamie Foxx was a singer? You don't remember? Golly, infatuation. It was just infatuation. Come on, Miriam, you gotta be honest.
I knew he was a singer. I knew he was a singer. I just didn't think he could sing that. The national anthem was not the best.
I don't even know the song. Do you know the song?
I'm not going to say I know the song that he's trying to interpret. Did you? What are you looking for?
I was
right
trying
now?
To find the.
What's this? Is this him?
Jamie Foxx.
Is this really? By the way, I found an Eddie Murphy new song that I need to have you take a gander at. Because there's a whole video, too.
Eddie can sing.
Well, you should see the video.
I know he gets into it. He takes his craft seriously.
It's just weird.
That was a long opening.
Yeah.
Kind of Prince,
are you watching
huh?
a video? What is this? Oh, you're not. This is slow. Oh, God. Is that leather under the vest?
No, it's just his red suit. Oh, yeah, that is.
That's leather. Peep this.
Jamie Foxx. This is a Johnny Gill-esque style.
You gotta get Keith Sweat's voice, not this.
Keith Sweat was your shit. Make it last forever.
Oh, his voice was definitely different.
God damn. I could sit up here and just reminisce. I think Mike J did a better job.
This is not...
Not your style, huh?
I love R&B, but I just don't know with Jamie Foxx. I don't know. This is singing better than he did on the national anthem.
In his defense, the
it's a difficult song.
The national anthem is a tough gig.
Yes, it is.
It's a
very
tough,
stressful
tough gig. So it's not easy, and it's live. You know, there's always lots of people.
Yeah. No, the
stadium.
Pressure is unbelievable.
It involves like bright lights.
You know,
and if you fumble,
I could never do that.
There's usually a camera right up in your grill while you're singing it, and then it there's several cameras, so you can get every angle and do like the montage. Not an easy gig.
No, I understand that, and I respect him for having tried it. But
so there it is. That was our first voicemail by Mike J, aka Fred Stone, aka Stone, coming by way of Oklahoma. From Flint, Michigan, also. So that was good. I was glad someone called in.
That's nice.
Yeah, not
even
too bad.
Even though it was me getting yelled at.
Well, he was just he wasn't yelling at you. He was just, you know, stating the fact that the man can sing. He sang that song. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. I was thinking last night, I was going to give you a call, but I didn't want to bother you at 1 a.m., the evolution of the podcast. So I was thinking, and I'm just thinking out loud, so feel free to critique, which I know you will. I've mentioned doing the KRS-One podcast, right? Maybe doing it separate, but then I was like, you know what? Maybe me doing the two a week podcast, maybe one of those episodes, I can just do the KRS-One Tom Cruise podcast. I got to have Tom Cruise in there because it's just so abstract. You know what I mean? I watched Valkyrie last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Valkyrie.
What a pick.
Hey, man, it was better than what I watched yesterday when I was stuck in traffic.
One?
Yeah, I was stuck in traffic. And so, yeah, I pulled over because it was raining cats and dogs, and I wasn't going to sit in three-hour traffic. And the only movie that was shown was fucking Poltergeist. Can you believe this shit? And I swore I wasn't going to see it.
Oh,
I did not. I went to see it. It was horrible.
The universe made you go.
It was horrible. It was so...
You sat through the whole thing?
Yeah.
You didn't walk out?
Yeah. Well, I went to this theater where... And it was a free ticket, so I didn't... It's not like I paid for it.
Oh, good.
That
makes it a little bit more redeemable.
But it was in one of those theaters that they have those reclining chairs.
Oh.
Super comfortable. So I made the mistake right off in the previews of leaning it all the way back.
I thought you were going to fall asleep.
I did. I started dozing off. I was like, Jesus. I was like, you really... Some places you don't need to have it too... Like, if they started putting those in football games, everyone would pass out with their hands in their pants. Not that I have my hands in my pants at the movie theater, but...
Really?
You get my point. You get really very relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, you want to take your shoes off, wiggle your toes, you know? You want to, like, you know, you want to get some air going, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to a theater during that. I feel like I would get too comfortable.
Have you ever been to a theater like that?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
You got to go.
I mean, my knees hurt now. When I'm in a theater, like, I'm sitting, I just, you know, it's not as comfortable. I prefer watching movies at home because I am comfortable on a couch. Mm.
Sorry.
What's going on? Too much technology is going on.
Yeah. My phone blew up while we were podcasting. Sorry about that, folks.
Oh, and it's all connected. It's okay.
It's Mendez.
Really? Uh-oh.
God damn.
Uh-oh. He needs some wine.
Yeah, I can't talk right now, man. We're live. You know what I mean? We're live. I can't be breaking up the show.
Why aren't you picking up the phone, man?
I did pick up. You heard, like, what was going on. I was just like,
I don't
know. You know how you see something? And then you... Fucking
fumble.
iPhones, man. Yeah. You
can they see me?
Yeah. And you saw what I was doing, right? I was
fumbling around. Yeah. Yes.
I accidentally hit it, and it's, like, all different colors now.
Oh.
Insane, man.
Freaked
I mean,
out.
You hit these phones
didn't fly up and fall.
I don't know, man. These phones are. I'm at the mercy of all these phones. But yeah, I don't even know why. Back to Poltergeist. Why are they even making these movies? A, don't go see it. If you're listening to this broadcast, take heed to what I'm saying. Do not go see it.
Okay.
I mean, the only people that might like it are hipsters. But even still, it had no soul, no rhythm. Nothing. It was basically like it's weird because I know the first one through in and throughout, right? You got Carol Ann, the little blonde child, right? And what was her favorite? What was her tag on the original Poltergeist? Original Poltergeist, what, made in 81 or something like that? Her tag was "They're here," right? Yeah. That was a big thing. It was a huge thing. It was everywhere. It not only I get worked up. Not only did that tag resonate for the promotion of the film, it was known for decades after.
Yeah,
it's like Jaws. You're gonna need a bigger boat. You know what I mean? Smile, you son of a. There's certain things that.
82.
You just can't imitate. And if someone else does it, it's not right. You know what the girl said in this Poltergeist?
What?
They're here. That's what she said. Just like that. Not. She didn't stretch it out. There was no emotional value to it. There was nothing. The other girl, I could be making a big deal about this, but that's what I'm talking about. When you bring that soul, that element, that it draws you in, you become part of that experience. You know, it was just like they were just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Even the great Sam Rockwell, and I love Sam Rockwell, right? He's a great actor. He's one of my favorites. And he delivered a couple good, couple good highlights of the film. He teared up a couple times, but even still, you never felt the connection for the kids, you know.
Well, that's and their eerie, fear. Creepy part of it was,
and it's the weirdest thing, because if you can get absorbed into another dimension, and you see someone that gets absorbed into another dimension, you would be sweating and just in fear of your life, because you wouldn't be able to comprehend that, right?
Right.
You wouldn't. You couldn't. And here, everyone's dry as a bone, dry as you are. Don't sweat ever. Don't ever. Just no pores.
Their hair is perfect.
Everything. And it's like, really? I have a hard time.
But you know, whose fault is that? Is that the costume designer's fault? You know, or like, isn't there a person in charge of the way they
I think
look?
It's the director's responsibility to be on top of those details. They only had one or two scenes of plasma. You know what I mean? There's no plasma in the movies. There's always plasma in movies. In Ghostbusters, there was plasma.
A lot of it.
Plasma's everywhere. It's at the Kids' Choice Award. You get
goo.
Goo is essential when it comes to any ghost
slime
movie. And when you're going through portals and it's coming through your ceiling, yeah, there's always got to be plasma.
There's got to be goo. That's
and
true.
The thing, there was plasma. It was goo. And
that's what made it gross. It was like sticky and mucusy,
man.
And bleh.
That you got to have that. You know, maggots on the chicken and the steak that went across the counter. None of that was in this.
That's weird.
You know, none of that.
Disappointing.
And just fear.
I knew it was going to suck. That's why I didn't even like.
Well, believe me, I wasn't. It was just like when they remade Red Dawn. I didn't go see that. There was no reason. Just out of respect for Patrick Swayze, I'm not going to go see that. And what happens? Flash forward now. You have them remaking. I just saw a post of their, which one they're remaking? Did I write this down? Point Break.
Oh yeah, you said this once before.
Point Break with the great Keanu Reeves.
The who?
Keanu. How do you say it?
I don't know, Keanu.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Keanu.
That's right, Keanu Reeves.
Why does it sound different when you say it?
The great Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. So again, out of respect for, I'm not even going to play with this. Free ticket or not. I might go throw stones at the theaters that carry it. You can't. Okay,
but does that mean that there's no more good stories to tell? Like,
there's plenty of good stories. You can base the film
or
off of
they
Point
don't
Break.
Know what's going to be a good story, so they have to remake the stories that were good.
I don't know, Miriam Tazi, but you can base the story off. You can say, okay, this is loosely based off, you know, the 1990s hit Point Break. Fine, different scenario, different characters. I might go see it. But the fact that it's the same characters and it's the same story, and they're admitting it's a remake. And it's some dudes I ain't ever seen. You know what I mean?
Was the duo that made it, you know, a big
that's
deal.
That's the point.
I get it. I get it. I remember when Point Break came out.
I mean, why would I waste? I think they're just trying to fuck with me.
Maybe. They think you forgot, but we didn't.
I didn't forget.
I know.
I mean, it's.
Oh, you're so disturbed.
Yeah. Well,
I understand.
Poltergeist itself. I mean, I've watched that damn near 75-100 times, and it's just
but then
one of those films that is a part of pop culture.
Speaking of like movies and remakes. I don't want to say that Mad Max is a remake because it's not, but you know there have been so many people that I've met since I've seen it that I've watched it, the new one, and haven't seen the originals. And I'm like, wouldn't you want to go in prepared, kind of, knowing the world and all of that stuff before you go see, like, a movie that's connected to other films? Like, it surprised me that people would even go and take the time to go see the new one if they hadn't, dedicated and had this, like, attachment to the originals.
Yeah.
You know? And then they're like, I don't get it. I'm like, well, that's the thing. You don't know the world that this is all, like, based in, you know? So it's not going to make much sense. Not that it's all like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. I don't understand how people can do that. So
It's just what they're feeding the audience. They're feeding the world all this bullshit. And if all there is if you're just surrounded by bullshit, eventually you're going to eat bullshit. It's still bullshit. Yeah. You know? That'd be like if someone remade the Thriller album. Oh. I don't care who did it. You wouldn't be able to get away with that shit. You know what I mean? Think about this, people. Think about your favorite album right now. What's your favorite album? Okay. That in mind, imagine if someone remade that right now, like how would you feel? Different.
That would be, it's so offensive.
Even I mean, a great,
such
even
an insult.
Even the great Snoop Dogg, you know what I mean? When he did his version of Lottie Dottie, I didn't like it. Like, I was like, what's the what? I get it. It's an homage, right? I get it. And you get somewhat of a pass. But don't base your career off that. Now, you could, one could argue that there have been plenty of artists from the likes of Jimi Hendrix to Mary J. Blige that have built their part of their career off playing covers, right? Elvis Presley, very famous for doing that, right? And it's their interpretation, which mm-hmm. I'm fine with that to a greater or lesser degree. But they also inject their own soul into it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kind of like Jamie Foxx did with the national anthem. But when it comes to a film itself, I think you have to be very careful just because depending on what the film is, it may not be open to interpretation. Like, I don't think you could remake The Shining, you know what I mean, and pull it off successfully. Just because it's just that much part of the culture and everything that's embedded in our psyche. I don't think it would be wise to remake Jaws, you know what I mean? I don't think there's certain films that I don't
know,
think
man.
You
should. I feel like it might happen. Well, hasn't The Shining been remade?
Yes. Yeah, they made like a TV miniseries out of like a three-parter or something. It yeah. tanked, mm. you know. But still, you don't. You just could it ever be done? Yeah, maybe in 1,000 years.
It needs more time.
You know, long after I'm dead. Because if I'm alive, I'm going to make sure everyone knows that it's. Don't go see Poltergeist. Okay. It's just...
Point taken.
You know, and it stars... The original had Craig T. Nelson in it. Craig T. Nelson and JoBeth Williams. JoBeth Williams, she was a little treat back then, too. She, let me tell you, man. And it was just great chemistry. Like, you believe they were married. In this one, I'm not even going to go into it too deep with you people, but in this one, here it is. A young couple goes and buys a new house. I think they're downsizing because the husband got laid off from his engineering job, right? Yeah, usually if you lose your job and the wife doesn't work because she's a writer. So that right there doesn't generate income. So they're going to buy a new house. And I'm assuming that they're downsizing from their other house, which was really awesome because all the kids did was complain that they loved the other house better. And that's the setup of the movie, mm. right? So... that being said, I mean, I get it. They're trying to be integrated with today's times and issues that's going on. People losing their jobs, and they mentioned foreclosure of homes, and this one's a really good deal, mm. blah, 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 blah. So that's how they got there. But why don't you just keep the story simple? Keep it the same if you're going to bite. I mean, matter of fact, don't bite. How's that?
Yeah.
Don't bite. Yeah. Don't even take it. Yeah. Why even play with my emotions? Aww. I can't be... No, but I'm not the only one.
I agree. I understand. There's a lot of people that would agree with you.
I can't be the only one.
But how much money is it making?
I don't know. That's all it is. They have a machine in a computer in Hollywood. It's not like a computer, but they have figures that they go by. So they do estimates before they green light something. They've already run the numbers. Yeah. And if they can get... You know, in the top five or something like that, recoup what they put in, the marketing, blah, 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 blah. It's worth the investment. That's how it gets green lit. They get the right star on there to carry it for X amount of weeks, and yeah. it runs X amount of weeks. Then it streams, goes to iTunes or Netflix. Or they've got it all figured out. This is why these things get green lit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not green lighting these things for just because, we want it remade or you know, this director – sold them on the idea. No.
It's not romantic anymore.
Yeah, it's like selling hot dogs. Yeah. They know people are going to come out to the park. They're going to want a hot dog. Yeah. So it's fucked up, though, man. I don't want your hot dog. I don't. So, yeah, that's what happened to me. and got stuck in traffic. Didn't feel like people just can't drive. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to suck it up. And yeah, I mean, I could have easily nodded off a few times within the movie or walked out, you know, but.
You were waiting for traffic to go by.
I was waiting for the movie. The best part of the movie was the end. Literally the best part.
Not that it finished or just yeah. the actual end?
Yeah, the end. I mean, just it finished. It was done. It was over. I mean, there's so many bad things within that body of work. I can't say enough things, but like I said, I mean, it's a testament to the 80s version, which still holds up. My son actually saw it with his friends. They went on a movie.
The original?
He saw both. He went to go see, he had like a play date with his friends or something. So they went, he told me they saw it. And I was like, did it scare you? And he goes, yeah, there were some scary parts. And I was like, well, which one did you like better out of curiosity? And he was like, I like the original.
Nice. So, that's cool.
See? Yeah, I mean, it's just a good product overall.
Because I was going to say, like, you know, would kids today appreciate, or would the original still have the same effect, you know, on a child the age that, you know, I guess you were when you watched it or whatever, close enough. So it's good that he liked the original better. That means it still holds, you know, it's, I don't know if I want to use power, but just it still holds true to what it was. So why did they make the remake?
I don't know.
They didn't need it, you know?
They don't.
Why don't they just re-release the original, but just like, I don't know.
Yeah, they don't need it.
You know, I'm sure people would go to the theaters if they re-released old stuff. There are theaters that
they
do
should.
That. Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's a great experience for the people that didn't see it on the big screen.
Right. Like, why don't more movie houses do that?
Didn't we see The Thing or something like that?
I don't think it was The Thing.
What was it? It was something.
I don't remember.
There
what
was something
it
was. That they were replaying. Shining, wasn't it?
I think it was The
it
Shining.
It was a Shining on the. Because I'd never seen the. You know, there's one film I didn't see in the theater. It's Shining when I was a kid.
I love The Shining.
Oh, my God. It was beautiful on the big screen.
It's like perfection.
Yeah.
So to see it on the big screen is great.
Yeah. Well, The Poltergeist, if you haven't seen it and you're from a younger generation, definitely seek out Poltergeist. I believe it's the 1981 version starring Craig T. Nelson and Joe Beth Williams.
I think it's 82.
Well, there you go.
I just, because I looked it up, not that I would know.
But I was watching another film starring Craig T. Nelson and Joe Beth Williams called Stir Crazy. I hope to God they don't remake that. Stir Crazy starring Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. Funny movie, man. Funny as hell. It's streaming on demand right now. And Stir Crazy is a comedy about two friends that they're out of jobs or something. Stir Crazy came out around the same time as Poltergeist, around in the early 80s. And it's about two friends who move to California because they're bummed out, jobs, their personal life's gone to shit. So they get in their car, drive out to California. One of the buddies got a bright idea to work at a bank, dressing up as a chicken. I don't even think they do that stuff anymore. You know, sometimes you see the Statue of Liberty around tax time standing outside. You know, the guy, and then you got the guy that...
With the signs.
And it's really sad when you think about those guys because, A, it's got to be hot and you can't breathe. And the thing must smell like damn to be hell if you put the Statue of Liberty thing on. And then the guys with the signs, there's usually two or three. I think there's three modes. There's a guy that can really do it.
Some of them are so talented. They flip it up and shit.
So much,
in the back,
you don't
like,
even
damn.
Know what they're. Yeah, you don't even know what they're pointing at. You don't even catch the name of the business. He's going
so fast.
It's as if he's a martial artist and he's really good at it. Right? There's that guy, and then there's a guy that just kind of spins it like an airplane or something, like a windmill. You know what I mean? And you get it. You're like, all right, there you go. And then there's a guy that's sitting there, doesn't move. Right. He's leaned up against it. He's got his cell phone out. Like, all right, dude. Really? This is why.
That's pointing upwards.
Yeah. There is. There's three different dudes.
That's funny. Yeah.
So with these guys in this movie, played by Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder, they're the guys. They dress up as chickens and they get people to. I'm doing the chicken thing. I don't know why I'm doing it. They recruit people to come join their bank, the bank they work at, which I don't even think they do that anymore around banks.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
Dress up. So what happens is, I guess someone else dresses up as a chicken, robs the bank, and they get accused of it because they were just hired, right? It's got to be them.
Oh, but, the new guys.
Yeah, have you seen this movie?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, you need to rewatch it.
I will. I've
I got a clip here that I want to play. That
can't hate that duo.
It's really funny.
Classic duo.
Pull it up for you.
I've seen a few of their films.
This is the part where they go to jail.
Mm-hmm. Walking through the desert, all right, huh? But I don't see no naked women.
So they're that right there is funny. So that's Richard Pryor. They're being escorted because they were found guilty. And I think they received some crazy sentence, like 100 years. So these are just two dudes. They could be hipsters by today's standards, right? They know nothing about violence. They know nothing about...
Clueless.
They're just clueless. And they get sentenced to hard time. So this is a scene where they're being escorted by police. Well, not even police. I guess they're what are they? Institute guards? What do they call them? Correctional guards. Mm-hmm. Through the corridors of a hardened prison. Mm-hmm. Right? So Richard Pryor, the late, great Richard Pryor, realizes that they're in certain doom. So he's coaching up his buddy to be hard and walk through these deadly corridors. Because once they get behind bars, you know, it's Fuckville, USA, and they're the mayor. So here, let's finish this clip.
I should have my head overhauled for listening to you. My grandmother was right. Cow shit for brains.
Me?
No, me.
Watch him.
What are you doing?
I'm getting bad. Better get bad, Jack, because you ain't bad. You're going to get fucked. You're bad. I'll mess with you.
He's like trying to bob his head.
Yeah. Hey, home. Get down.
Hey.
You're a little too bad, ain't you? Yeah! Do some of these. Right on. Right. Here!
Yeah, all right, here we go.
So they're just walking through, and look at his bob. Look how...
so accentuated.
That's right, we bad, huh? That's right. We don't want no shit, either. That's right.
Darn right.
We don't want no shit.
You understand? We don't take too much shit. Yeah, take a little bit. We don't take no bunch of shit.
Damn right.
That's right. Say no shit.
No shit.
That's right. No shit. No. I'm trying again.
We don't take no shit.
No shit.
No shit, Rick.
So the prisoners are just looking at him.
You better believe it, baby.
A lot of them have cowboy hats on. A
lot of cowboy hats. So that's a funny thing you brought that up. You have to understand the 80s, Mariam Tazi. There were a lot of cowboy hats and tassels, Civil War type hats. There was a whole bunch of just, there's a lot of cowboy hats in this clip. If you guys get a chance, just look up Stir Crazy in YouTube and you'll see what I'm talking about. And I'll post the link when I post the podcast as well, that you can click on. But it's almost like time traveling to watch this film. But it holds up well. I watched it, and it's still very funny.
I'm sure.
And even in the scene where, if you go back just to 1980 when this film was released, they didn't know what we know now about, let's say, self-defense, martial arts. If you see the way they position themselves, especially in this clip of what they think a martial artist is, it's always holding a karate. You know, if you think of someone chopping wood with their hands, you know, with that's not gonna hurt anyone. Like, there are dudes you could get into an argument with over a parking space, and those dudes might weigh 140 pounds. And they'll bring it to you. They know jujitsu. They know Muay Thai. They know something.
That's true.
This was just not too long ago. And this was in all the films. Any film that had to do with some sort of martial arts, this was a stance. So this is where Gene Wilder is now doing a karate stance. The sound effect.
What enough?
Christine. So they're in a hardened jail cell, overpopulated with lots of cowboys and pimps, gangsters, hobos.
Oh shit!
There's all sorts of stuff going on. So yeah, it's and that's just one scene. I mean, the movie is populated by classic scenes like this. And I wasn't going to get on a rant today about remakes, but imagine, and I'm not even going to put any ideas, just in case there's a Hollywood producer listening to this program, don't remake Stir Crazy. Could you imagine someone trying to do what you just saw?
No, it would be very weird. It wouldn't have the same charm, you know?
The same soul, the presence, the chemistry, all those things that make up the film. And the little details, like who was the production coordinator that said, make sure everyone in this scene has cowboy hats or kerchiefs on? You know?
They had around, just come dressed as you are. And it was a bunch of extras that just all worked.
I think so. Because they really shot this at a prison. When they did the rodeo scene, and a lot of that was shot with real prisoners.
There you go.
So it's a very interesting story behind the making of it. Maybe I'll do a whole podcast on that. But it's just an amazing tribute to that time period, and this genius of a comic duo between Gene and Richard.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably in the top five best comic duos of all time. Portrayed on film. So just an amazing watch. So Stir Crazy, look that up. And speaking of amazing watches, let's look at this next photo, and I'll post this. This came across, and I'm showing Mariam Tazi a picture of it. It's a picture we're looking at of a young Jaden Smith. And what do you see there, Mariam Tazi? What do you see?
First thing I see is a really big cape. Okay?
Big white cape.
Big white cape. Well, the whole outfit is white.
A long, flowing cape.
Yes. Huh? Yes. And these interesting gloves.
It's actually a white Batman suit.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's the Batman symbol.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Oh, and then look at this right here. He has cut off fingertip gloves. So apparently, Jaden Smith, the son of Will Smith, he went to. And this is a couple weeks old, but I didn't have time to talk about this with you guys because anyone who's listening to this podcast or anyone that remotely knows me knows my affinity for capes. And yeah. I'm not gonna sit here and try to trash the young Jaden Smith or his wardrobe choice. I'm actually going to praise him because this young man went to prom wearing a white Batman costume without the mask, at least in this picture.
Mm.
And it's a flowing cape. It almost looks like a cape they'd use in like a CGI movie because it's just got it just cascades out. You know what I mean? It's just flowing, right?
Yeah, he definitely looks like a superhero.
He looks awesome. He looks awesome. Most people are trashing him.
I can't believe he did this. This is
most people are trashing this young man, but you know what I call him? I call him a hero.
Oh, right.
He's a hero.
That's what he was dressed as.
Man, if I could have had that outfit when I was a kid growing up, who knows? Maybe I would have went to prom. You know? Maybe I would have.
I don't think he would have gone to prom just like that. Maybe Halloween.
Both. Both, Mariam Tazi. I would have done both.
It's good that you had a crew that had your back.
I didn't really have the balls.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
to do something because it would have invited too much attention. Uh-huh. The reason I didn't go to my senior prom was because of the amount of attention it would have received, and I was
you didn't go at all.
No, I was a very low key person in school. Like so much so people thought I was shy. Right, I just didn't have anything to say to anyone who wasn't really in my set. Now, this doesn't mean that I was being conceited or anything like that. I just, if you weren't from my street, or if you weren't from, you know, I guess, you know, my crew, I couldn't really picture doing anything that was going to bring unnecessary attention to what I thought I was about at that time. It's a funny story about that too. I was asked to go by someone pretty high stature within the popular community, right? Mm. But I didn't. I was like, you know, no.
You put the hand up?
No,
too?
Thank you. No, I didn't do that. But it was just, you know, and I was a little scared too, I think. A little fear in there. You know what I mean? Mm. I was scared of pussy back then. I was like,
you have a whole podcast about it.
Pussy?
Yeah, being scared of it. I think that was the title of one.
Yeah. I was feared. Yeah. Well, it wasn't the dominant thing on my mind at that time. I was just trying to survive and get out of school.
She's
laughing because I'm sweating. I just held up my arm to look at my underarms. Yeah. No, it was an interesting time. I wasn't even going to talk about this, but it was, now that I'm thinking about it, I probably wouldn't have wore that. I wouldn't have, no. Because I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't, at that time, I did not. When they went around with the yearbooks.
It takes a lot of confidence to be able to do this.
When they went around with the yearbook, you know how they do, when the yearbook committee comes around, mm-hmm. right? And they're like, you know, this is going to be the most successful person. This is going to be this. They wanted me to be the most shy person. Yeah. And I looked at him and I that's what I did. I laughed. I was like, are you kidding me? You do not have the right. I will not participate in this. I won't. Right?
That's weird.
Because I wasn't shy. I didn't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
I just did not. And I know that sounds. I know that sounds bad. I just, God bless them. Like, we need people like that. Like, team spirit. What do they call it? School spirit. Because listen, if everybody was like me in school,
there would be no committees.
There'd be no committees. Yeah, there would be no games. There would be no
activities.
Dances. There would be no. There would be nothing.
No events. You can organize events. You do it all the time.
I can do that now, but at the time, you know, I didn't. I just didn't want to be bothered, man. I didn't need that. I just wanted to get out of school.
Too cool for school.
I wasn't cool though. It wasn't about being cool. I don't know what it was. It was more, I think.
Not wanting to be bothered.
At the end of the day, I really had a hard time with school, and I had a hard time always adjusting to a new environment and a new school. And I was just getting settled back in Flint, Michigan. And, you know, I didn't need anything extra on my plate. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I think I've always been that way. I think when I look back now and the decisions that you make dictate how you'll be in the future. Little things like that. So maybe I should have, and it would have opened me up in a certain way, and I might have got some pussy. But this girl was bad too, boy. Good night. She was a woman. You know what I mean? She wasn't a girl. She was a woman.
No wonder you were scared.
Had red lipstick too.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. She had a curl. I remember that.
She had a curl?
A lot of people had curls back then. What the hell? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could grab a curl. It might slip out of my hand. How do you do that? How do you work that out? Has anyone had sex with someone with a curl? Please call in to the podcast. I would like to know. This is weird, huh?
A little bit.
I'm just saying that I'm looking at the guy's cape and I'm like, wow, it takes some sort of courage, huh?
Yes, it does. But he seems like he's a very confident.
He is,
young
man. He catches a lot of shit because of his confidence.
Care, though. Oh well, there's nothing wrong with being confident.
Well, but it's just like with Tom Cruise, right? He catches.
You always find a way. How is this anyway like Tom Cruise? What does Tom Cruise have to do with this?
Well, he catches a lot of shit because of his confidence and his outgoing personality. And how he conducts himself. I kind of see parallels between the Smith family and Tom Cruise, where people are so fast to label them. Just in general, they're fast to label them. And we do that as a species. We tend to label people that we know nothing about. I mean, it's no different than the way I've been labeled.
I mean, I don't see anyone outside of having grown up in the celebrity world would dress like that. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like,
well, he has access.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. When you have access, you
and
can do
access,
stuff like
and then
that.
You can, it's almost like
But I mean, hipsters today have access. You know what I mean? Today, you go somewhere and someone's dressing up like a fucking superhero and they're smoking a vape pen. I see it all the time.
Yeah,
somebody's got some Boba Fett outfit on. You know what I mean? Running around looking like a fool, and you know it is what it is. It's even out of Comic Con, I burped up some roast beef. I had a roast beef sandwich. Yeah, they do it.
Thanks for bringing me one.
Well, this was in the car about an hour plus ago, driving, as I told you I do.
In your car.
Yeah.
Weird.
I've taken a piss in my car.
In a bottle, I'm sure.
Yeah. What do you think? Where else am I going to do it?
I don't know.
Hmm? In a towel? That would be weird.
I don't... Hey.
Hmm?
My mind didn't go there, but...
My point is, Mariam Tazi, keeping the show moving, Tom Cruise has a lot to do with it. No, you don't see the parallel?
Not really. Mm-hmm. But I just, I don't know. I don't know, Tom Cruise's children aren't as, like, out there.
No. They're more low-key.
Yeah, they're not really. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to be into the Hollywood scene.
His son.
How old are they now? They must be,
I don't know.
I feel like they must be older than
like 20.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's what? 17 or so?
Yeah.
Has to be. Because prom. Like
yeah.
Unless he's going back. I've known some dudes that do that, man. It's always weird, man.
I went to a few proms.
20 like something years old going to a prom.
That's creepy and just, that's wrong. That's not funny.
No, I've known a couple guys.
I'm sure you
they
have.
They were not friends of mine. Actually, mm-hmm. I knew the chicks. Now, let me tell you a story.
Yeah, girls want to go with older guys.
That's what I'm saying. And it was so
it's
weird.
Fucked up that they would go.
It was weird.
They shouldn't go.
You know what I mean? Those dudes were like...
Why would they want to go to a high school party just for that young pee?
Yeah, but that's weird.
Yeah.
Hmm? Like when you leave school, like you ever you know the people that would leave high school and then they would go back the next year? And hang out for
I
whatever.
Never did that.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be that person. That's more than sad. But in this case, I just think my hat's off, and I'll post this picture. I mean, you know, it's risky, and if you go online and hashtag it, I'm sure he's getting tore up. But I got to give it to him, man. I'm all about the cape, and I wish the cape would come back to fashion because I would rock one. I actually was so funny.
I'm just picturing it.
I wear this. I don't have it with me. And my whatchamacallit, I tie it around my neck and wear it like a cape sometimes.
I think it looks like a cape.
It's like one of those three-quarter capes, like Sherlock Holmes.
It doesn't look like
one. You know what I mean? It feels like one, though. And in my mind.
I know.
That's all that counts. That's all that counts. That's all that counts.
That's not how it comes across.
Doesn't matter, Mariam Tazi.
It comes across like a...
The angry African.
Pompous.
The angry African people. The angry African people.
How can I be angry if I laugh so much?
I don't know. I'm just labeling you like they do.
I don't like labels.
Too late. And it's recorded on a podcast. And
so
I've got a mic.
For life.
I've got a microphone. Wow. It must have warmed up in here.
Yeah.
That's the blower turning on. It cools down a little bit, people. Deal with it.
Did you talk about everything you wanted to talk about?
No, not really. Not really. I wanted to talk about that article that you sent me. Which is a very interesting article. Right here. Where'd you get this?
When I was reading out the news. Muslims dehumanized warns Qatar's Sheikha Moza.
What is that?
It was a... What? What's what?
What is this? What is this about? Explain to the audience why you sent this to me and your thought patterns behind it.
I saw it. I checked the news, you know, every day. I was checking BBC, and yep. I came across this article, and I was trying to show you how... I mean, you know this already, but just how Islam and Muslims are seen, or how they view that they are being seen in the public eye. And... It's, you know, just because we talk about how black people are kind of perceived in, you know, in the media and stuff like that. This is just kind of going with what I've, you know, my perspective.
So this article can be found on the BBC.com. Go ahead and read this first paragraph real quick.
This whole thing here?
Yeah.
You want me to start from up here? A senior member of the Qatar royal family has warned that Muslims are being dehumanized by the coverage of violent extremism in the Middle East. Why do Muslim lives seem to matter less than the lives of others? Asked Sheikha Moza bint Nasser in a speech at Oxford University on Tuesday. The division between East and West was creating a fear and suspicion of all things Islamic, she said. Sheikha Moza also warned against the violent oppression in the Arab world, or violent repression, I should say. Widely seen as one of the most influential women in the Middle East, Sheikha Musa warned an audience at Oxford University of the dangers of negative stereotypes in the West, and the failure of progressive politics in the Middle East was fueling distorted and perverted interpretations of Islam, she added. And there's like these new terms now, Muslim phobia as opposed to Islamophobia and things like that. So I just thought it was interesting.
I thought so too.
I'm glad that, you know, a woman is speaking out about it actually, so that it gives people more of an idea that women have more rights than they're perceived.
Well, I mean, it's, I think everyone should be speaking out, male or female. And this is something we've talked about on the podcast, whether it's against Muslims, Islam, black people, anyone of any background. But we've talked about this, and you know my personal views on this. And I think I'm almost sure I'm on record on the podcast of speaking out, saying how when you dehumanize someone, especially using the media, it then gives a green light for the public not to rise up and see this as an outrage. If someone is constantly labeling you, and I've said this before, if someone is constantly labeling you a savage,
a thug,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A criminal, someone who lurks in the dark. You know what I mean? A predator. You know, when they label you this and they say it over and over and over again, then you don't even know that it's absorbing into your psyche. Whereas when someone gets hit by a drone and families get wiped out, then you're just saying, oh, well, that's just collateral damage. That's just, you know, that's the cost of eliminating terrorists that live in that area. Like, it's no big deal, but it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. And then when someone gets pulled over, and if they get shot, if they get killed, if they get shot because they're out and a riot breaks out and a window gets windows. I don't care if it's 30. I don't care if it's 100 windows. It doesn't equal the cost of a life. I don't care if you loot every radio store, stereo equipment, TVs, you steal 1,000, 10,000 televisions. No one should die over those televisions. I don't care what color they are. They could be white, black, Latino. They could be Muslims. It is. And when we start putting the value of property over human life, we are all on the wrong path. What I got out of this article was exactly what you said, how the media is using a lot of what's going on in and outside of America, and twisting the perception of Islam, twisting the perception of the Muslim people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. No, it's scary to see, you know, that people are now starting to get confused, you know, and don't really know the difference between a terrorist and someone who is Muslim. There's a big difference, and Ramadan is right around the corner. It's coming up in two or three weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's already going to be a very difficult time for most Muslim people, because fasting is, it's a difficult thing to do.
It's a commitment.
It's a very big commitment. It's a long time. In the summer, it's very difficult. And that's usually when, you know, you want peace to happen, and it doesn't seem like it's going in that direction. So it's just like...
But there's always going to be extremists. There's always going to be...
But in every religion, and every belief system, you know, it's not healthy in any way. You know, you have to keep a balance. We've talked about this many times, and it's kind of my theme. But
no, it's a great article, and I'm glad that you sent it to me.
I'm glad you liked it.
It's not new, though. It's not at least to us. It's nothing new.
Speaks up about it in this environment is new, and I'm proud as an Arab lady.
Yeah, because you don't hear a lot of women. Or at least they don't cover a lot of women speaking up, mm-hmm. you know, because people are just viewed. Let me just say that people view women as, you know, as
being super repressed and suppressed and submissive. And you're seeing that, no, they're educated and will speak up and speak out. And it's not, you know, they're allowed to as well. You know, there's some choices, you know. But anyway,
to the credit of the religion of Islam itself, and we've talked about this, how Islam itself has never really had that opportunity to evolve like Christianity. You know what I mean? It's always been in an evolution stage. Mm-hmm. Not saying it needs to evolve to the way that I think it should be, or the way that, you know, Mr. Smith or Mr. and Mrs. Johnson in Iowa thinks it should be. You know what I mean? The evolution of Islam should evolve the way Islam dictates it should be.
Yeah.
There are smart, educated people within Islam that know what's best for them as a people, a culture, a religion. And it needs that time. There's always been these religious wars where, you know, whole cities, whole countries have been sacked. Some of the great leaders of Islam have been killed. And it's just pushed it back, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years, from the limited studies that I've had a chance to read and podcasts that I've listened to. Again, I'm no historian. But when something like, I can only relate to that, being of both African-American descent and Native American descent. And when you sack someone, when you sack a culture, when you sack a city or a
village.
Yeah, or a country, and continue to keep doing so every 50 years or 100 years or even 10, 20, 30 years or whatever. And it never gets that chance to actually develop. Mm-hmm. And it's happened. I mean, you look at the state of the Native Americans in America. I mean, you look at that. You look at the way that, you know, we still celebrate Columbus Day here. You know, one of the biggest terrorists of them all.
It's nothing to celebrate.
You know, it's still celebrated. And you look at, the likes of how the American government wiped out races, you know. And so it's, you know, this is not a new story. But when I see articles like this, it's inspirational that, you know, there are people out there that are standing up. There are educated people out there that are educating, one person at a time.
Yep.
And like yourself, educating me with this article, and it's contagious, and I believe in that. And that's why I always say I'm a fan of man. I really am. I'm a fan of woman, and just people getting together and just, you know, standing up for what they believe in. Take recently the riots in Baltimore, mm-hmm. right? And it's come to light that Jay-Z and Beyonce have been bailing out
some of the protesters,
large groups of protesters, and they're being put under fire because of it. You guys can Google it. I can't really spit out all the facts surrounding it, but I mentioned this on a podcast a few episodes ago where, yes, we don't have the likes of a Malcolm X or a Martin Luther King Jr. By today's standards, but there are influential people that are out there in the forefront. And granted, some of them, or a majority of them, are celebrities that may be picking up that torch. We may not know about it. And this is one of those cases where I figured, and there's probably others out there that, you know, we know what it's like to struggle, and the struggle continues, and someone has to use their influence to help educate the inner city, because it's not just Baltimore.
No.
You'd be foolish to think it's Baltimore.
No, it's all over the country.
It's Chicago. It's there's parts of D.C. I was watching Bill Maher. I was telling you last night. Mm-hmm. to what you should watch that episode and see how naive people are. You know, when they say, oh, the country's doing good. The what's going on in the black community isn't everywhere. Look at D.C. Hmm. D.C.'s thriving. There's plenty of successful black people. There's one that lives in the White House. I mean, for someone to say that is so out of touch. And they're talking, you know, and then when they say, oh, well, Baltimore has a black mayor. It has a black prosecutor, black people in charge. And it's still, you know what I mean? They're not. They're placed there. The problem is bigger than that. There's stuff going on within that community that's been going on for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like to get access to the money to fund, after school programs or just school itself, it would take more than a mayor. You know, it would take more than a prosecutor. No, you got, you know, black policemen. You know, what the, you know, and that's a whole other podcast, but you have to continue to educate each other and continue to reach out and try to reach other people, send some emails, post the right posts and, you know, get the message out there from all over, you know, and with the age of technology, how fast information is now, you know. You can reach anyone and everyone anywhere.
Pretty much.
You know, and we just got to make sure that stream of education, that stream of knowledge and communication is just continuous. It just makes sense, right? Right?
I definitely agree. I should use that more, you know, but...
You know, your voice is important and people listen to you. And when I'm talking about you, I mean you specifically. People listen, and when you're in an environment, whether it's your work environment or your social environment, you have influence, and you might just get one person. You might just reach one person, and all right, yeah, you know, I like to talk more. I like to research more on that and get more actively involved.
Yeah, but you also have to be with the right people that are interested in that kind of stuff. Like, I don't want to sound preachy, you know, because some people can come.
Yeah, you don't want to keep posting. Like, I have friends of mine and stuff. They'll post a lot of religious stuff or a lot of political stuff. There's a form for it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll do joke stuff. I'll talk about crazy stuff on this podcast. We'll open up and talk about capes to, you know, being scared of pussy, and then it'll evolve into something. Yeah, that's the podcast, people. Yeah. But that's real. That's what it is, right? I can't hide that. I won't hide that. But there's a form to do that. And or there's a form to, you know, be more serious and to get actively involved within your community, so that you can reach the right people and form coalitions and movements, right? You know, you can easily isolate yourself within the environment of the suburbs and just, you know, live your life, right?
Yeah, but it's hard. I can't pretend, you know? I can't.
No.
I do, you know, I definitely do enough where I have to, you know, to be able to survive, but I can't just pretend. Like, I can't just pretend I'm
there's
in this
a lot
bubble.
Of shit. Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I don't even know what I was reading, but somebody was they were running down. I wonder who it was. I get so much information. You ever get so much information where just you can't place where you got it?
Yeah,
but I was just I don't know if it was Chris Rock, I don't know who it was, don't quote me on this, people. Someone was just chastising Oprah Winfrey, and they were talking about how, I wonder if that was on the show I was watching last, the Bill Maher, but how she is from Chicago, knows the issues that are going on in Chicago, but yet still would build a school in Africa. You know what I mean? And I'm fine. I know that you're very present with the conditions of Africa and supporting Africa. But
that's how I made that face. I mean, there's been consequences of the school that she built there. I definitely do think that I mean, I have a little bias against South Africa because I feel like they have received a lot of funding from Americans, even though there's a lot
more. It's prestigious,
more.
Man.
Yeah,
it's... A lot of that is prestige.
Yeah, and a lot of it is diamonds, and, you know, they have all the resources, you know? But,
well, I'm talking about when people do stuff like that. Like, I'm sure that everyone has... Like, I have the charity I work with for cancer... Where I go out to LA and raise money for, but I think everyone you have your organizations that you're aligned with, and it may take you out of the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what can you? What my question? What I challenge people to do is to do something within the boundaries of your home. Your homeland, you know what I mean? And again,
but
in the defense of Oprah Winfrey, she may be contributing to Chicago. And that's the one thing that the press decided to grab on and blow up. Same thing with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. You always hear about their humanitarian efforts and George Clooney and his wife and their humanitarian efforts abroad. You know, they may be doing stuff here, but for whatever reason, the media feeds us what is going on abroad and not so much here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it may parallel what's being said in this article that you said, that the media is, quote unquote, in charge, and this is what they're feeding us. So I think we have to, you know, before I speak out and, like, you know, diss Oprah or George Clooney or Brad Pitt, I think I would be responsible for me to dig deeper. I just don't have time. dig deeper and see what they're doing here in the U.S., you know. Because, again, that should be reported. And that's why I always wanted to have a new segment on the podcast where we would find stories like this and find stories like Jay-Z and Beyonce that they're doing and report those, bring those to the people and say, this is what's going on. This is what they're not talking about. And this is what you need to dig deeper and keep your eye on, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I like that.
It takes time, and again, that's going
to
be
and research, because it's not just there. Like, it goes to, you know, show the point that we're making is you have to dig deeper to get those information, like to get that information to get it out there. You have to make more of an effort, but
it's good.
It's worth it. It makes the challenges good.
That's been a theme on the podcast too, you know, about digging deeper. And, you know, we've talked about it time and time again about music, about film, about right now, about the news, about digging deeper and finding things. I had a post recently on my Facebook wall page. Which one is it? Both, right? Where I posted a picture of Public Enemy and someone had wrote about wishing rap music was as good now as it was then. And, you know, it is. You just, again, you have to dig.
There's music out there.
There you go.
Sorry.
What'd you do there?
I was fixing my skirt.
Watch. Skirt. I was fixing Look out, my Marion Tazzi. you know, with everything now, because we're submerged in this age of technology where, you know, we're getting whole seasons of television shows, you know what I mean?
Binge watch.
Yeah, we're getting a 24-hour news cycle, activities. There's things. There's.
He was just saying earlier in the podcast that he doesn't like to participate in activities, but now you're like,
I don't want to be bothered.
There's activities and everything. Yes, there's things to do in this country.
The man that doesn't want to be bothered. But don't take it personal, people. There's so much stuff going on that we forget to dig deeper because we're too busy looking at what's on the surface.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to break through and scratch that surface, penetrate that surface, dig deep below that surface to uncover what's really going on, what's really out there. Right, Miriam Tazi? Give me an amen.
Amen.
All right. I like the accent. That's nice. Yeah. And that's what I challenge you guys to do, is to dig deeper. And if you find articles, it could be articles like the one Miriam found on the BBC, or it could be something that you found on your own. Like I said, post it. You can post stuff on the wall on the American Riddle Facebook page, or hit me up, tweet me, shoot me an email. You guys know me, malcolm@malcolmreddle.com. Or, you know, call the hotline, which I don't have in front of me. I should know it by heart, but, you know, I'm not good like that, people. You know, you got to give me a break.
Oh, I think I do have it.
Yeah, you can call 424-248-9262 and leave a voicemail like my man Stone, a.k.a. Fred Stone, a.k.a. Mike J, coming at you from Oklahoma. You know what I mean? Oklahoma City, I think that's what he said. You know what I mean? The city with no pity, where it gets kind of gritty. That's what's up. Miriam's laughing. She always laughs at me
Kid Fresh.
That's right. Kid Fresh in the house. But yeah, you do that. You know, I challenge you guys to do that. And that's how we're going to, you know, keep in touch, keep in tune, and keep the knowledge.
We're going to keep on keeping on.
That's what you do. Mm-hmm. Miriam Tazi, I'm going to shorten this podcast, this episode, but I'll bring you guys some stuff. I got some interesting stuff coming up. Yeah, that's it. That's it for me. That's all I got. That's it. No more. No mas, Miriam Tazi. Domino motherfucker.
The American Riddle Podcast.
Riddle.
The American Riddle Podcast.